then I had this really weird moment then of wanting to do Good Morning Vietnam. I'm so not going to do that. Hi, everybody. It's a semi-sunny day here down in little old Auckland in New Zealand at the bottom of the world. And my plan is today to talk you through a challenge I've had, actually. It is a answering an unanswerable question, I think. Most people would say. So a friend of mine called Terry, you know who you are, Terry, who lives over in Australia, or as we call it, West New Zealand, has asked me to answer the question, how much should I pay for a website? Crikey. So I'm going to give that a go. It is definitely a long as a piece of string question. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk through three main buckets that you will probably fall into when you're looking at your website and building one. And some general guidelines to think about in those and how much you can expect to pay in each bucket. Then I'll talk through what I call the unicorn option. And finally, I'm going to talk about some general rules that you should be thinking about regardless of what website investment you put in. So, option one, or bucket one. Bucket one is if you're someone who is probably a professional services person, you might be a consultant, but essentially the bucket one people are when your business needs an online presence, but basically most of your business probably comes through referrals. So really what your website is just like an online brochure about you and your services. It might have some testimonials on it from customers, but it doesn't have a shopping cart. It doesn't have anything maybe more complicated than a contact form. So for those people, I think you still need to have a good presence online, and you should expect to be paying around, I would think, $1,000 to $3,000 for that. That's in New Zealand currency for anyone listing overseas. So the things that will make a difference to that cost in terms of it being lower or higher will be things to consider, like how often do you think you're going to update your website? So bear in mind there are content management systems that you can get, so which means your website is built with an interface you can use to update content. These things can be easy to use, or they can require you to have a bit of a technical mind. So it's always worth, if you're considering that and you're working through a developer who's doing it for you, or a web designer, to get a preview of what it would look like. They should have some kind of test site you can see. So have a look at that just to check whether or not it's going to be something you're going to find simple enough to update your content. If you're not going to update your content very often, and by not very often I mean maybe once every couple of months, it's worth considering just having what's called a hard-coded site. So a hard-coded site is one that doesn't have any kind of content management behind it. So what that means is any updates you want to do can be done, but they do need to be done with someone with technical knowledge. So again, if you're looking at this option, the thing to bear in mind with that is to look for a developer or a website type system or coding language, as it's known, and do a bit of a search. If you see this, for example, is built in .NET, it might say, or it might say something like that. Have a bit of a search to make sure that coding language has lots of developers or people referencing that they can write in it, because that will mean that if you want to keep your website for a number of years, you'll be able to find someone quite easily to help update it for you. So in today's world, where we have a lot of content management systems or self-build systems, you can also use one of those, but I still recommend you go through a web designer or developer, because unless you're the unicorn I'll talk about later, there is a trick to it, and these things have got to show you off. They're your brochure for everything you do, so it's important to try and get an expert to do it, and an expert in that industry. The way to choose that kind of person is to look at their sites that they've already built, check that they're still going, see if you like the look and feel and colour and design. Often, well, that may not be quite so true these days, but often if you get something that's what's called hard-coded, so you have to pay for changes later on, those can be slightly cheaper than a content management system, because it requires a slightly different, if you think about it, the content management system comes with templates like Microsoft Word does, for example, and so to make those different for you can take more time than something that basically people are just designing from scratch and doing in their own way. So that is category one. The only thing I'd say to be mindful actually of in this category as well is to just be sure that if you're going with a web development company that has a lot of different sites that they do and add-ons that they provide, just have a look at how the costs bear out, because there are some website companies out there that have a proprietary system that they use, and they'll charge you for the website build, which may seem low at the beginning, but there'll be like a low fee to enter into the system, if you like. But their ongoing fees can be quite expensive, and they do add up, because this is something that you're going to keep around for, I would think, 5 to 10 years. So that is category one. Right, so what about category two, or bucket two? I haven't decided what they should be, categories or buckets. Anyway, let's not overthink that right now. So bucket category two, let's call it bucket category. It's for people who have a little bit more complexity in terms of what your, both what you sell or your services or products, but also what your customers may need to know or understand. So if you're someone, for example, who is selling a suite of products, you may not be, you're still potentially not selling them online with a shopping cart, but if you do, it's a really, really simple process that your customers know well to purchase them. Then you would be looking potentially around the kind of 5K to 15K mark. And again, that's quite a big difference. I realize that that bucket is quite a large one, because you can be a crossover between someone at the lower end of that will be people who have quite a simple proposition that's easier to say and easier to talk about and doesn't require that many pages to be built and probably doesn't have that much of a shopping cart. It may just be a more simple inquiry form, but that has some additional fields and if this, then that type scenarios that need to be worked through. Again, companies like this, similar to bucket category one, make sure that you're just having a look at the different people who will be building it for you. Look at the designs that they've done. Have a session with them and a meeting with them to make sure that you feel confident they're going to be able to do the job for you in terms of what you like. You should make sure that you're getting a group that have developers and designers. And no disrespect, I know there's some really good developer designers that are in one person or in one being, if you like, but they are quite different skill sets. So if you want someone who's really creative and you want someone who's quite technical, try and make sure that you're going with a team that has people who do both of those types of things. The other thing to bear in mind is make sure that they're people who will take the time to get to know your business. And when I say get to know your business, what's most important about that is actually what do your customers want to know? Please make sure that if you're talking to someone about building your site, they ask about your customers potentially more than they ask about you, because that's what makes all of those websites out there so difficult to use, is because we know what we're selling and serving inside out. So it's very easy to slide into jargon or slide into saying, here's what I want you to know about my product or my service. But actually what's more important is what do your customers want to know themselves. So that could potentially be quite different. So if a development house or a design house for websites has what's called a UX person in house, or which stands for user experience, or are talking about things like usability, what that basically means is they have a focus on making sure the site will be easy to use from a customer perspective. So as soon as you get into anything which requires slightly more complicated inquiry forms or more complicated ways of displaying products and services, particularly if you've got more than one, make sure that you're looking at that piece. It's a hidden trick. And again, per bucket category one, you can very easily spend money and not get the thing that you're really wanting at the end. Again, the cost will kind of vary a lot. If the customers you've got really need the information on your website, it's worth spending the time and just finding someone that you want to work with and you think is going to take the time to understand your business to do it, right? This is an investment in you, much like a retail shop that you might have in the physical world. This is where customers will go and there's no one there to guide them while they're there. So it's really, really important that the focus is on the customer. Yes, I know I'm stressing that a lot. I just work with a lot of businesses that don't think about this because it is hard. So hence me hammering it home in bucket category two. Right, bucket category three. I can't believe I've made up a new term. Well, I can believe that actually. So bucket category three is really everybody else. So if you are, you have a complex site, you've got website, if you've got a complex set of products with multiple options to choose from, so think things like maybe you're selling exercise equipment of different types, or you're selling homewares, or those kind of things, any kind of product set which requires different categories, like for example stationery versus books, and has different cost or selling options, that's where it becomes more expensive. And the reason it should be more expensive is you want some experts, again, like I talked earlier in number two, people who are really investigating your customer and making sure that the decisions they make are easy to make on your site. Nothing worse, as we all know as customers, is going to a site and not being able to figure out what you want. So, or not be able to find what you want is probably more accurate. And then it being difficult to check out. The thing with shopping carts too is I hear a lot about shopping carts and websites themselves being easy to use. I think what's a more accurate term is something that's familiar to use. So if you think about if you buy a book online, for example, there's a pretty similar process for doing that in most of the websites, whether it's a book depository or whether it's Amazon. There's a very similar way of doing it across all of those. So don't necessarily think, what am I going to do to make it easy? Do some comparatives around your competitors and try and do what they do, but do it slightly better. That familiar way of doing things will make things much easier for your customers as they come in. So for these people, and there is a crossover obviously between all of these buckets, so bucket two and bucket three, I would think probably for bucket three, you're looking from around 10K upwards. Potentially, if it's a very complicated site, you will go over 25K. If you're a big Auckland City Council or you're a government institution, obviously these things can run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I'm assuming they're not listening to this particular podcast, but if they are, don't be surprised by that. Again, whichever category you're looking at, make sure people are looking at usability, i.e. your customers. You're paying for people like designers and developers, so you're getting a good skill set in-house, and they're spending some time with you, making time to really unpack and understand what you're selling and how your customers are going to want to try and find out about it. Right, now, the unicorn. So it would be remiss of me if I didn't tackle the thought that there are a lot of do-it-yourself DIY website makers out there, everything from WordPress through to Wix, which is actually a fairly user-friendly one. And, you know, I do get the question a bit like, well, you know, I can make it myself, you know, really cheaply. Why wouldn't I just do that? And my answer to you is, unless you are the unicorn that knows your customers inside out, and that means you're not cubicle headed stuck in your own head, but you've got enough feedback from your customers. One, two, it's a simple design that you need, so it's your brochure type site. And three, you're someone who has a really good creative mind or understands websites and how people make decisions about your product. Don't do it. Just invest in it. Again, spending a couple of thousand dollars, if you think of the return on investment of that or the payback period or however you want to work it out, it's much better to get a professional to do something than it is to try and do it yourself. I'm speaking to all of those of you out there who are self-made electricians and washing machine fixers. So you're the ones that if you've had a bad experience doing that and flooded your kitchen or, heaven forbid, actually electrocuted yourself, think of this as being your website warning to not do the same thing in this category. Finally, okay, so general rules. I really wanted to make sure that even if you've listened to portions of this podcast and you think you've found yourself in here, some general things to think about when you're looking at building your website and figuring out how much you should be cost and what is a good idea or a bad idea to include. So the very first thing I'm going to say again, is just make sure that you're focused on what your customers want to know rather than what you want to tell them. It's such an easy trap for us all to fall into when we're so used to our own business and we know it inside out, to forget that customers have their own language or levels of understanding around your product and services. And it's really important that you get that right. The second thing is also around the customer, and that's about thinking about the choices they make or the things they consider when they're choosing between you and someone else in your category. So if I think of an example of that, actually one of my favorite examples to think about is as a woman who has tattoos, is if you're looking for a tattoo artist, right? So if I think about that, really the most important thing to me about that tattoo artist is that they have experience and that I like their artwork. Though, because it's going to be on the body for my body for the rest of my life, right? So I want to be sure that they know what they're doing and they're hygienic and they have creative work that I'm going to feel proud of on my body. Of less importance to me is, are they going to be available tomorrow? In fact, that could actually be a bit of a detriment. Or really how much it costs, because I will weigh up those two things together. And if there's someone I really like and trust who has a great reputation and I love their art, I'll happily pay a bit more. On the flip side of that, if you think about something like butter, which for New Zealand has become almost the economy monitor of choice in terms of the food industry here, because the price has gone right through the roof. So when I'm choosing butter, price is really the only thing I care about for most customers, right? So the reason for that is because butter is kind of butter is butter. So it's pretty much the same thing. What I am looking for is even the dollars and cents that will make the decision for me. So if one block of butter is $5 and the other block of butter is $2, I'm going to go for the $2 one without really considering anything else. So if you put those two examples against each other, so I can't believe I'm comparing tattoo artists with butter, crikey. But for a tattoo artist website, you really want to be seeing things that sit in those top factors of decision making. So showing me the experience that you've got, the number of years you've been working, showing me the artwork that you've got, that you've either done, well, particularly that you've done on people, but also the things that you may have done generally in terms of your style. So I get a sense of that. And those will be the things that I really want to know about you. Of less importance, again, for those people, is the price and potentially booking in tomorrow. So what you wouldn't want to do on that website is start with, this is how much it costs. You really want to start with your art and everything else. On the other hand, if you're a grocery list, you would just put things ordered by price, because that's really what the customer wants to know. So those are two very quite specific examples to have a think about. But the best thing you can do to work out what are the things that people consider and choose in order to choose between you and your competitor is just ask them. You know, people actually like talking about themselves and are often quite willing. It takes 5 minutes if they know you're not trying to sell them something, is just to go, you know, what had you choose between me and someone else? Like, well, why would you choose one company over another? What are the kind of things that are important to you? And then get them to rank them if you can. You can either send out an email to do this, or, you know, if you're particularly if you're someone who's working in services and you want feedback, just do a call. You know, nothing wrong with a bit of old-fashioned phone ringing. Something else to think about when you're going through this is obviously is also the content managed system versus a system that is basically hard-coded, which means you can't change it. So think about that in terms of how often and how much you're going to want to change your website in terms of the content being imagery or being copy. If it's a lot, so it's more than maybe monthly, it would be worth considering a content management system, at least for sections of your site, if that's possible from your developer, so that you can edit yourself. The flip side is if you have a website that's been built purely, the design is basically hard coded, if you like, onto the internet, you can't change it yourself. So what that's going to mean is you're going to have an hourly rate that you'll need to pay every time you want to make a change to the site. And the reason those two things are quite important to think about is a website is something that's never finished. So don't think of it as much like a brochure that you send out. You want to be adding to it all the time and just checking what's working and what's not. which brings me quite neatly to thinking about things like analytics or the data of your website. I'm going to talk about this in a separate podcast with an expert to talk through bits and pieces of what you need and what you don't. But Google Analytics is the most obvious one that's out there, or maybe the most common one that's out there and used, but they are difficult. So it's always important to have it in there, and I'd really consider talking to a specialist and also talking to your website development team to see if they've got it. The final piece is also looking at who's in your website team. So when you're considering however much you pay for your site, talk to the team, like talk to them about what they can and can't deliver and why they work the way they do. Make sure that they're the kind of people who are asking a lot of questions, not just about your business, but about your customers and what your customers do. If they've got usability people in-house, so they should be focused on things like user experience. What user experience basically means is people like you and I, when we go to somewhere online, there's no one there to talk us through it. So we really want it to be something that's easy for us to use. I'm going to catch that one there and just reiterate, making sure easy doesn't mean start from scratch. Easy means similar to how your product or service is sold and positioned online by everyone else. We're not special unicorns or snowflakes. Every business is pretty much the same as the rest within its market. What you want to be doing as a marketer is being better than everyone else in the factors that your customers are looking for. And again, I'll talk about digital marketing a bit further on another podcast. And that's it. That's my take anyway on how you can make some decisions and what to expect in terms of cost, and also what to make sure that you're doing when you're building your own website. If you have any questions that you think about technology that you don't understand, please put your hand up and let me know. You're undoubtedly not alone. And by put your hand up, I mean email me here at heyyou@thenotechshow.com, and I'll see what I can do to either answer it myself or bring someone else in to answer it for you. All right, ka kite, have a fabulous afternoon or evening or morning or wherever or what time it is, wherever you are. Thanks.